Okay, so Marion, are you feeding back then on your group?
I am. Would you like me to start while I have my mic open?
Go for it.
So, okay, thank you. Where was Annalise and Anna and myself. And we digressed a little bit, but not in a bad way, I think. But we did start with the points that you had asked about. the overall thing feeling was that as facilitators, we need to be aware of our own comfort levels and how we want to be in order to create that environment and create that space, and working with ourselves to be in that place, to feel comfortable and safe within that. We felt that there was the sense of an equality, not a top-downness, that we are all sharing. There is, in every element, there's always trauma, even if we don't recognize it. And we talked about the last year and a half and how all of us have had, there has been a sort of level of trauma, whether it's subtle or less subtle. And to recognize and acknowledge that with others in a positive way, and in a way that's not threatening, but in a sense of making a community. Yeah, so we thought that was really important. Annalise was very, felt very strongly that it was great that nowadays talking about trauma is no longer a taboo, and so and she felt she wanted to go more deeply into an awareness of what that means for her as a facilitator, and to really explore that.
Thanks, Marion. Okay, I invite each group to try and free feedback just maybe three main points. I invite somebody from Charlotte group, Charlotte, Denise, Martha. Go for it, Charlotte.
Me, so to add to that, to build on that, just the advice about preparing your audience, telling the time, telling them how much time they have, telling them what the options are, and also providing that escape route. Really important for those people who, you know, find themselves that they don't want to actually be in this situation. You know, how easily can I exit myself? Really important. And on the need to do side, spending time making those plan Bs, because if you're not used to working online, or even if you are used to facilitating and you don't have that plan B, again, that's part of the anticipation and preparation, really, really helpful tips to move things along. There was one point that maybe in the past, as facilitators, that we've been used to taking control and actually managing or manipulating the group, that trauma-informed is more about empowering the participants, so that it's not the facilitator controlling everything, but actually making it more empowering for the participants.
Wow, that is such a great point. Thank you. Please, if you've got a moment, can you write it in chat, that last one? I don't know about anybody else, but I felt that's really crucial. Thank you. Anybody from Andrew Sabri and Venerable Tendrons group feeding back, please?
Yes.
Your main points. Thanks, Andrew.
So one thing that came out was the value of having a co-facilitator, especially in certain cultures when people might be more expressive, but then they can often cry, and also being intentional about it. So actually agreeing beforehand who will step into the role and what each person will do when that arises. Another thing was for us to learn were the technical skills. So if we're online, actually knowing how to set up the breakout room and manage who's going into it. And we reiterated the point of remembering to give people options. And we had some discussion around that. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. And anybody from Ben Barb's, Ben Tendrils or Sally's group feeding back, please?
Okay. All right. So in the group, Barbara, Tendro, and myself, we actually spend a bit of time talking about the importance of this just invitation, you know. Sometimes, despite the best of intention and invitation, the as well as the languages, and there were quite a few suggestions in terms of how you can actually make people very comfortable, you know. So sometimes we, you know, the intention is always there, but if you're not using the right language as well, then it doesn't come across. And we also were talking about Zoom. Everything in Zoom now has its advantage, but also the disadvantages, especially when you come to courses which are more touchy-feely courses. It's a little bit difficult and, you know, to control because of the fact that, you know, cameras can get switched off and you don't know whether it's an internet problem or people are disengaging with it, yeah? Versus if you have a face-to-face, it's easy and, you know, you can check the body language and during breaks, you can actually invite people without, you know, coming across as too, you know, casual thing, you know, you just go and have tea and you can talk to the person. Whereas via Zoom, a little bit more difficult, not impossible, but a little bit more difficult to actually have that that connection. Did I miss out anything from our group? Okay.
Thank you so much, okay. Sally. Anybody from Rachel or Virginia's group would like to invite you to feedback?
All right, so I was elected because everybody else was leaving. it was Francesca and Kitty and Virginia and me. We covered a lot of ground. I think that the main points really were, the first one was, depending on what you're facilitating, there's some differences. Using some of these invitation to connect to the facilitator privately was in Kitty's experience, it was something that then when she invited that, people really took advantage of it. And so it was quite unexpected to her, you know, so that kind of a thing you have to, if you're going to invite people, you're going to have to be ready for that as well during the breaks and afterwards, because that can take up quite some time. But also that the benefit of doing that was that even with technical problems on Zoom and so on, the feeling of the feeling that was created by that enabled people to really connect to the material and to her. So also, if you give options not to participate and people don't, you might be triggered as a facilitator. So to really work on how that those triggers are happening for you might take some time, mm-hmm. to learn what triggers you, how to deal with that, and have that self-compassion, not to feel like, oh, I did it so terribly wrong, and that's why they turned off their cameras, sat there the whole entire time and did nothing, or chose to take me up on those options. the third point is from my experience. I'm a teacher of middle school students, and I found both of those things were, it's difficult to balance. So again, it's sort of taking both of those points and using them together. Difficult to balance directing and being that open field. So depending on what you're teaching, you know, so if I'm teaching English and I have to cover subject matter, and yet I understand my students have all this trauma, one of the questions I really have that I need to find out about is how to use questions. I think it was Francesca said that there was a coaching session that she was engaged in training in that was never to ask any questions, because then you are open. And questions are manipulating and directing on some level. And my remembrance is something that questions are also can be an aggressive technique, that if you ask questions, people can feel you're being aggressive towards them. And so I have experienced students where you couldn't ask questions of certain students, you know, because they would get triggered from questions, even with the intention of having the questions be open-ended or supportive of thinking. Still, questioning can be, so the question I have about questions is how to use them so that they are not aggressive or triggering in themselves.
Thank you, Rachel. And I think we'll offer that to Ceci to reply to in a way, but I'd like to hear, please, first, I think it's the final group, Mabel and Venerable Lexoff. Who's going to feed back to you?
Okay, we kind of forgot about feeding back, so we'll sort of do this together. In our group, I was the only person who had been facilitating courses for a while, although Venerable Tenzin does a lot of Dharma teaching and Lam Rim retreats, where there were kind of some similar things that kind of came up. What I really appreciated learning was, Ceci, your advice about sending an email to people beforehand, because I think I have encountered people having you know, being triggered during a workshop, and it's been all right. It's been I think, you know, there's been a safe space, and people have felt that, you know, they could go out and do whatever they needed to do, and then came back. Everybody always came back, so I always thought, well, okay, it must be okay. But I thought it was a really good idea to, you know, send in this, in the pre-course email that I send out, to invite people to, you know, share if there's anything that, you know, they'd like me to know. And do you want to add anything, any other things, Tenzin?
Not particularly, no.
Okay. Thank you. But you did have a question which you directed to Sean, and she'd like to read that question and answer it. I know we've gone over time. I totally appreciate if anybody wants to leave, but maybe Sean could answer the question that was put.
Thank it was you. In the chat, and I apologise, I didn't see it earlier, Venerable Lexoff. The question was, can you more clearly define what is specifically trauma within the various kinds of suffering that we so often discuss? And I really like the question. I just think it's not an easy one to define and pin down, because if you remember in the slides, we talked about the different kinds of trauma, and some of them are, you know, there's a very sudden, violent, huge event. Some of them are accumulative, but we also talked about there's the event, there's the experience, and there's the effect, the ongoing impact. So it's really about coming into all of, you know, making sure it's kind of in, not just in the event, but coming back to how it impacts and how, what the ongoing impact is. And, you know, suffering, as we're all aware, is part of our human condition. And in some ways, I'd rather almost emphasize the suffering than the trauma, because I think trauma can get a bit overused sometimes, and you know, is put on a label of everything. I don't think we should be less aware of, I think being trauma informed, as in the way we're talking about it and recognizing the impact of what we're doing when we're facilitating, I don't think we should neglect that. But I do think labeling everything as trauma is sometimes a bit debilitating, rather than in looking at resilience and growth and what can come out of adverse conditions that affect many people. But of course, we need to be really aware that people will be impacted by those events. cumulative things. Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. I am really aware we've gone over time, and I was going to ask Ceci to answer that question, but I think really what this is saying, we might need another forum on this issue, Rachel, when your question and other questions get answered. But I'm aware people need to leave. I invite you now to just come into your body, come into your mind, bring your mind inwards, and to think about how you want to move forward with what you've learned. And if there has been any benefit from our time together, that you will send the energy of that benefit to whichever situation, locally, nationally, internationally, you feel will benefit. So really don't lose the energy of this time together. Place that energy wherever you feel it will both benefit most. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Ceci, so very much. Thank you, Angela and Michaela from FCCW. And thank you, everyone, for being part of this session. Have a good rest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Angela, Wendy, everybody, for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you very soon.
Thank you so much. It was great. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.